Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
The sermon for today, the 22nd Sunday after Trinity, which is also continuing Christ the King, which I alluded to last Sunday. The benefit of forgiveness. This first Sunday in November has different significance attached to it in different parts of the Christian world. Throughout much of Protestantism, it is known as Reformation Sunday. Well, actually, the Presbyterians did that last Sunday. That is because it is a Sunday near October 31st, the date in 1517 when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg. That was the opening shot in what became the Protestant Reformation, an upheaval which changed religion in England and so affected and formed us. In the liturgical or more Catholic world, the last Sunday in October is often called the Feast of Christ the King. I have no objection to glorifying the Reformation or to glorifying Christ the King. And our hymns this morning reflect that. They did. The prayer book calls this the 22nd Sunday after Trinity. So that is where we are. But there are echoes of both the kingship of Christ and the Reformation in what we are about to hear. The gospel lesson this morning is one of Jesus' parables. He has just got done telling the disciples how to resolve disputes in the church. And that raises the question of forgiveness. St. Paul always seems ready to ask the stupid question. So we should thank him, because the stupid question is often the one we would all like to ask if we weren't so embarrassed. Peter's question is, how far does this forgiveness business go? How often do I have to forgive somebody who has wronged me? Do I have to do it as many as 7 times 7? Or put another way, what is the least I need to do to slide by but still stay on God's good side? Jesus says, you don't need to forgive people 7 times. You have to do it 70 times 7 times. Though, of course, that doesn't mean you can stop forgiving the 491st time. There is no upper limit on your responsibility to forgive other people. And to show Peter why, Jesus tells him a story. The story is, appropriately enough, about a king who has a servant who owes him an astronomical amount of money. The king says he is going to sell all the servant's possessions and sell the servant and his family into slavery to pay off the debt. The servant throws himself down on the ground and begs for time to raise the money to pay the debt. The king is so moved by his performance that he lets him off the hook for everything he owes. On his way home to tell his wife to unpack, the servant runs into one of his fellow servants who owes him a relatively small amount of money. Servant A grabs servant B by the throat and demands his payment. When servant B pleads with servant A in exactly the same words in which servant A pled with the king, servant A tells servant B, tough luck for you, and has him thrown into debtor's prison. The other servants who are watching this sorry spectacle report it to the king. The king calls servant A before him and says, I forgave your debt because you asked me to. Shouldn't you have shown the same compassion and pity toward your fellow servant that I showed you? So the king sends servant A off to jail until he can pay the original debt. The parable should not be too difficult to figure out. The king is God. I am servant A, and anyone who has wronged me is servant B. If I accept God's forgiveness for the innumerable things I have done to disobey him, I should be willing to forgive other people for the relatively fewer things they have done to me. 70 times 7 and more. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So the parable is in part about how God uses us in the world. He wants us to be channels of his forgiveness. The Holy Ghost works in us to try to make us more and more what God is. God forgives us. So to be like him, we forgive others. My years of talking with parishioners and hearing confessions have taught me that forgiveness is most people's biggest spiritual problem. We have a hard time believing God really forgives us, and that makes it hard to forgive ourselves. One of the more pervasive aspects of human pride is to believe that you have done what you have done is so bad that even God can't forgive it. But that means your standard is higher than God's, and that is absurd. We also have a hard time forgiving other people for what they have done to us. We have the wrong-headed idea that forgiving means saying, "I guess what you did to me wasn't so bad after all." But the truth is that if you don't forgive, you stay in prison. Forgiveness mainly benefits the one who forgives. He gets free of the chains of his own resentment, and resentment can eat you up. Forgiving unhooks him from the hold over him the person who has wronged him has. Forgiving is not the easiest thing to do. It requires constant and conscious daily spiritual effort. But the results are worth it. We don't forgive people because they deserve it. We forgive them because it is best for us. We don't want to be where our friend, servant A, still is. In prison is where Jesus says we will be if we from our hearts forgive not everyone, his brother, their trespasses. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.